Do you remember I quit the show?
You were so pissed.
And I was like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I didn't even want to do this. I'm done. I'm out. I quit. I was like walking out to the parking lot. They had to come back and talk me down.
Welcome, MythFits.
Hey, MythFits. It's another MythFits Monday. We are back again. And since this is actually a part two episode, because we were going to just answer a bunch of fan questions. And in part one, Tori and I got lost and answered one question in an entire episode.
But it was good. It was a good subject. It was a good question. But yeah, we only got through one of them.
We have so many weird stories. We have to answer more fan questions. That's what we said we were going to do. So are you ready for part two, Tori?
Yes. All right. So this question comes from Tony Cancel. Given the known complicated relationship between Jamie and Adam, did you guys ever have to choose sides? did it get awkward and silent for the rest of the day?
I mean, early on, we worked with Jamie and Adam a lot because we were their backup builders and that kind of thing. I don't remember choosing sides as much as like we were assigned to each of them. So you were just working with one of them. I mean, I used to listen to them if they got into any sort of, you know, argument, but I don't remember choosing sides. It was more just
I think the side we were choosing on is, can you guys get over this disagreement so we can be done? Like I remember there was an episode, it was the chicken cannon episode. And so they came up with this system to test the penetrability of a frozen chicken versus a thawed chicken. And so whichever went deeper, then they would be able to tell this was conclusive. A frozen chicken versus a thawed chicken, which one has more penetrability? So they're testing it and you can't tell. They're just blowing up these blocks of foam. And I remember Jamie and Adam just like getting into this argument, and Adam was like, this was your idea. And he was like, well, this isn't, we can't conclude it. And they were just going back and forth. And I remember the camera crew and the producers were like, all right, we're done. Like, you guys figure this out. We're going home. Why don't you guys figure this out and we'll reconvene tomorrow morning?
When they were done, you and I still had to clean the shop. So
yeah.
We're just like, finish arguing. Is that when Jamie, I think they left it in the episode, goes, do you need a cookie?
Yeah. Adam was so worked up, and Jamie just knew how to push his buttons because Jamie was a robot. He literally didn't, like, nothing got under his skin, and he just knew how to push Adam's buttons.
I disagree. Jamie, definitely, you could get under his skin. It's just, he didn't show it. He just got more and more quiet the more pissed off he would get. So like,
yeah,
you knew he was really mad when he would just completely disappear and just go up to his office. That's how he would be mad. It's just like quiet. And it was almost more maddening because Adam likes to, he'd like to get the conversation out, and Jamie would disagree, but then just kind of shut down and leave, you know? Like that was the way he would argue. I don't remember taking sides, but I do remember, you know, like we went autonomously. So we were doing our own thing. So it wasn't really like the kind of situation where we were the War of the Roses. That wasn't happening. But we worked really long hours and we were with each other all the time. And it was like family, like sooner or later, you're going to get on each other's nerves. And every now and then, we would fight over something, and sometimes it made camera and sometimes it didn't.
There were times, though, where we would go head to head with each other. So Jamie and Adam would go head to head, and then they would have a couple of us on their team, like finding a needle in a haystack, or the hoverboard episode where we were each building our team were building their hoverboard. And I remember when you were on Jamie's team, you would come in and just, you would try to sabotage us all the time. And it was like, what are you doing? And you're like,
oh yeah, that wasn't me, like, though. That was the producer at the time was trying to create conflict because they weren't talking enough smack. They weren't like, so he'd be, Carrie, go over there and you know, talk some smack. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, I was very suggestible. Okay, sure. I'll go talk some smack. That's easy. Do you remember that one time we were testing? I believe it. You guys had to sleep at the shop. You and Grant, we had built this.
It was hangover cure.
And you guys had to sleep at the shop. And I was super duper pregnant. So I wasn't participating in, the alcohol part. And
which is a wise decision when you're pregnant.
Right? The right decision. I was supposed to piss you guys off. So they gave me air horns and I was supposed to come in early in the morning. It was like 6 in the morning and I was supposed to come in just all full of crazy. So I came in with the air horns. I'm like, get up. Like my job was to make your hangover horrible.
The end of the day, they're filming me and Grant and like pounding as much alcohol as we can. And now they're like, okay, you can't drive home. So you guys got to spend the night. So we actually built bedrooms in the shop. And so now we are so hungover and passed out completely. And then here comes Carrie with the horns and pots and pans and banging them together. And it was just like, oh my God, I want to kill you right now.
And you had a water gun and you
sprayed
me in the face. And I was hormonal and pregnant. And it was first thing in the morning. And I had to get up early and put on all the makeup. And you sprayed me in the face with the water gun, and I went full fucking diva. Oh, do you remember God. I quit the show?
You were going to quit? No, you weren't.
I did. I was so hormonal, Tori. I was really, really pregnant,
I cried,
Carrie. And I was like, you know what? I don't need this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I didn't even want to do this. I'm done. I'm out. I quit. I was like walking out to the parking lot. They had to come back and talk me down. Working on MythBusters pregnant was really hard sometimes because I was taking naps underneath my desk because I was so tired. And I wasn't one of those little pregnant ladies. I was big pregnant, like really. I did pregnancy like supersized. I was huge. I gained so much weight and I was so just weepy and just easy to get at.
I'm a good shot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit you right in the face.
I forgave you after they told me how crazy I was acting. But I mean, I was just so big. I'd come into the room. Do you remember you guys would always go, oh, yeah, because I looked like a cartoon?
No, we did not. We never. You're making that up. There's no way we would ever do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, maybe when you wore the red jumpsuit, but that's the only time.
Maybe it was Grant, but that joke did not. That joke happened.
I would never.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. Kidding me? I just want to go back to that episode, that experiment. So we had these rooms set up in the shop, and we each had our bedroom. And so it was the end of the night, and I was like, we had a safety officer, right? Because he was like supposed to. He stayed there all night with us in case we got hurt. You know, if we were going to the bathroom, we were drunk and fell over and got hurt on some equipment. So he was in the office, probably asleep, but he was supposed to be awake, keeping an eye on us. And so I remember I had set up a ladder in the back of the room and I told the cameraman, I go, get up on the top wall because I'm going to jump into bed. I'm going to climb up on the wall and do like a wrestling move and jump into the room. And so he's like, okay. And so I do it. I run around and climb up on the wall. I'm standing on the wall and the safety officer's like, get down. What are you doing? And I jump and all I'm thinking is hit the bed. Don't miss. Like if I miss the bed, I'm going to break a leg. So I hit the bed. But what I didn't think ahead of time is that I literally bounced right out of the bed. I hit the mattress and it launched me against the wall onto the floor anyway. So good times.
Yeah, I think that there's one place you shouldn't be drunk, and that's at the shop. There's just at the shop with cameras. There is no good decisions to be made. do you remember other times where we had behind the scenes drama? I remember every now and then we'd be fighting over something done. I remember there was one time you and Grant, it was New Mexico Tech. You and Grant were fighting over something. I can't remember what it was, but it was so hot out. It was over 100 degrees. So tempers were pretty short, and it was the end of the day. And you guys were like in each other's faces about something. And the only thing I could think to do was to defuse the situation. And I walked up to you guys and said, pull my finger, and then just let out a giant fart. And you two fell over laughing.
I do remember that.
I went from being super embarrassed to fart on camera to like, oh, I'm going to embrace this. This is a superpower.
Be an old grandpa. You became an old grandpa.
This is a superpower. I'm just a goofy little girl, and you wouldn't expect me to rip a fart to break up a fight. But then after that, we're like, okay, let's stop taking ourselves so seriously.
It was like whenever we disagreed on a way to test something, there was a lot of tension. I remember when we were testing bifurcated boat, and that we had this rope system. So we tied the rope to a trailer, but the rope was strong enough to tow this boat on this boat trailer. And we were trying to crash it into the steel pole to see if we get it to bifurcate. And so we came up with this system where if you tied the rope, we used this marine blue rope, and it was strong enough that it would pull the weight of the boat. But when it hit the pipe, it would break away from the vehicle that was towing it. And so that was like kind of our safety release mechanism. And so we did it, and it like didn't break away. And I remember Grant comes up, he's like, I told you we never use the blue rope. And I was like, we always use the blue rope. And we're just having this dumb yelling match. And then the camera comes over and they're like, keep rolling, keep rolling. And I'm just like, oh my God, we look like such idiots right now. We're complaining over some stupid blue rope like children.
Well, you get so invested, and you know, it's a sibling relationship. You're going to fight over dumb stuff. I mean, there was all sorts of fun behind the scenes. I wish that was the show. Like, that was the best reality show, because it was so much cooler behind the scenes than when you actually saw the show. Like, the experiments were great. It was fun, but they literally could have had an entirely different show because so much fun happened. I remember this one time with Grant where this wasn't drama, but I just, for some, it reminded me of this because I think it was around the same time that we were testing that myth. You guys knew that I, at the time, before I had a kid, was extremely germophobic. Just like everything was gross to me. But the grossest thing of all to me was the fact that men didn't wash their hands after they went to the bathroom. I always thought it was so gross that like men would shake your hand. And the whole time I kept thinking, I'm touching your penis, right? Because men just like never wash their hands. I could always tell they'd come out with dry hands from the bathroom. And it's just like in my head, like it was just, I was disgusted by this one fact. Where Grant was in the porta potty and he heard me walking by and he starts yelling, I'm touching my penis. I'm touching my penis. Like dying laughing.
I'm going to come out and shake your hand. Here it comes. Here it comes.
We just had this whole conversation about how it was just like,
I'm touching my penis.
They need to wash their hands after they go to the bathroom.
Hey, I wash my hands. Why do you just assume men don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom? Maybe we're just really good at drying our hands after washing them off.
Really? I'm going to ask you this. You have spent more time in the men's room than I have. What percentage of men don't wash their hands after they pee?
I mean, I don't keep track of it. I'm not like, hey,
sir,
you just touched your penis. I need you to go over there and wash your hands.
Anonymity breeds honesty, because I feel like I just, out of my personal, maybe I just hang out with dirtier dudes than you do, but I feel like they come out of the bathroom with dry hands. Just really
dry. I got an idea, Carrie. Why don't you sneak into a men's bathroom, set up a hidden GoPro, film it, and then you can count and see exactly what percentage of men, after urinating, wash their hands. What do you think?
A good idea. I should totally do that.
Is this a Misfits episode?
Yeah, this is what we're going to test. Okay, let's get to another question. Let's see if we can answer another one. It's from Sario528, rewatching the first zombie special. And I have a question for Tori. Okay, this one's for you. Did Carrie ever apologize for sacrificing you to the Horde? They weren't real zombies, guys.
Yeah, you sacrificed me to the Horde. Why'd you do that?
The answer is no, I did not apologize. to sacrificing Tori to a bunch of fans dressed as zombies.
I remember one time, speaking of throwing somebody under the bus, we were testing how to beat a guard dog, and we were testing different things like pheromones from a wolf. Our wolf urine is supposed to scare dogs away. There was coming in, like having a bunch of steak. And so Carrie had steak. And so she was in the dog bite suit. She breaks in and throws the steak down. The dog completely ignores her. It absolutely works. So the dog is sitting there eating this meat, and she's heading her way to get the, you know, the safe, the stash, whatever it was that we were stealing. And so as she's on her way, she's almost done. I take a chunk of steak and I show the dog, and then I toss it at Carrie and it lands on her back. And then the dog goes after her and takes her down. And I remember I was laughing. I thought it was hilarious, but the producers were so pissed at me because they were like, "You just ruined this experiment. It was working. It was working perfectly. And you've just ruined it." And I go, "But that was funny. That was better. I think that's funny TV." No.
Wait, can we just, I just want to unpack this for a second. So the producers weren't mad that I had a piece of steak thrown on me so that a guard dog would try to tear me to bits. Mind you, those bite suits protect you from the bite, but the jaw strength, I was black and blue. Yeah. They bite so hard. It's like putting your my skinny little bird arms felt like they were in a vice. Like they bite really, really hard. And the producers were like, "You ruined the scene," rather than "You threw meat at Carrie."
I feel like I've made the scene better. They were like, "You've screwed up this experiment because it
also
worked."
Also missing the priority here being my safety.
You're good. You had the big dog bite suit on. We were all rooting for you.
Dude, that day it was so hot, and that bite suit was so hot. And I remember when I was testing the wolf urine. It was very pungent.
Yeah.
So pungent. And that smell drifted. I was covered in it, and I was wearing a motorcycle helmet, and it drifted up inside the helmet, and I started dry heaving so hard that I hit my face on the front of the helmet, and I gave myself a bloody nose. I was covered in urine. I was bleeding out the nose. I was dry heaving. It was so hot. I wanted to pass out. I just was like, you know, would have been dog bitten all day.
I remember the wolf urine actually worked for a second. Do you remember the dog ran in, smelt the wolf urine, and was like freaked out, like, "Oh, predator." And then saw you and went, not working. He's going to bite you. He's going to bite you.
Was it freaked out, or was it like, "You stank"? I'm going to put my mouth on that.
No, I think it was more, "Holy crap, this is a wolf. I smell a wolf." And then he saw you like, "That's not a wolf." There was a whole segment that they cut out. Like, I feel like Mythbusters, they could recut. There's so much footage that was cut from the episodes that never made it, that there could be a whole like brand new series of just what didn't make it. Do you remember
cutting room floor?
One of my techniques to beat the guard dog was I built these like huge stilts and like arm and leg stilts. And I was going to like walk over the dog, and the dog wouldn't be able to get me. And we did this in the shop, and I had like a harness to the ceiling, and it was kind of working, but then like I just slipped up and then fell. And then I was just like hanging from the rafters like a puppet. And it made it in the rough cut, but then it was something where it's like Jamie and Adam's story. They wanted more of their story. And so they cut out our story. And it was like, oh, like that was such a great moment.
That was so funny.
Never seen.
You know what? I didn't watch a lot of the episodes after they aired. I watched the rough cut. So I don't think I realized that didn't air. That's hilarious. Oh my God. Yeah. That was such a good moment. I wish they left that one in.
All right, next question. Do we have another question?
We do. Okay, ready? This one's from Jimbo89. Tori, was there ever a moment you almost quit? That actually works. What is your worst memory, Tori?
I think it was early on very early on in the show where they were cutting me to look like this like jerk, and it really bothered me because I was like, oh my God, like I don't remember, like I didn't say that, or it didn't, you know, like there's the fight where me and Adam are arguing, but they only left where I'm arguing with Adam. They didn't show the beginning of this argument. And I was just like, I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is, I already don't want to be on camera. Like, I've told that from the beginning. And now they're making me look like the bad guy. I definitely don't want to be. And so I remember that was like the first moment I wanted to quit. But then as the show went on, somebody said, if you don't give them that stuff, they can't use it, the edit. I was like, oh, that's a great piece of advice. So I, you know, just don't, you know, don't get upset. Don't get mad. Just don't give them things that you don't want used in the show. But then after I got used to that, it was, there was a producer that just like had it out for us, I feel like, and would do things to try to upset us or get us mad at each other. And I remember specifically going, you're going to have to fire me. I'm not going to quit. And
what was that? When was that?
This was, it was like mid or like early seasons when this producer was leaving at the, like, you know, the rap party. He was like, Tori, I should have fired you the first week. I was like, ow.
What a dick.
Yeah. He was like, you're so terrible. I should have fired you after the first week. And I was like, thanks. Good luck. See you later. Have a good career. Good guy, see ya. It was like such a dick move.
Yeah, we got a lot of behind the scenes drama with him. I don't even know if we can go into it, but I think we had some Stockholm syndrome there.
Yeah.
He was interesting. The puppet master, that's who you're talking about?
One and only.
He was like intentionally controversial. He loved being salacious. He loved sort of stirring stuff up, and it was fun for him. He just really enjoyed making you uncomfortable. Or, you know, do you remember when he shot Jamie with a soft pellet gun under the table straight into the crotch?
Yes.
Like that was one of those times where you were asking about what does Jamie look like when he's mad?
Oh my God.
He was so mad.
So just to set up the situation, it was when we were doing Blueprints. And so Jamie and Adam were sitting around the office, the big table with the blueprint, going back and forth on how they wanted to test it. And this producer had this soft...
It was one of the paintball soft guns. Soft.
It was like an airsoft. So they were like little pellets, but they still hurt.
They had a good velocity to them. They hurt, especially in sensitive areas.
And so he's underneath the table, or he's laying on the floor, directing them from the floor. And he's got this airsoft pellet gun, and he shoots Jamie right in the testicle. And I just remember... Jamie just went, and his face turned bright red, and he goes, you shot me in the testicle. And I, like, we were doing everything we could not to bust up laughing because it was just such a like unexpected reaction to getting shot in the balls. But
horrifying,
man,
what could, a horrifying situation.
Yeah, this is your producer.
Man. Back in those were the old days of production. I mean, I've been on a lot of shows since, and you know, it was pretty Wild West back then. Things were very different on set than they are now. Like, everybody's so careful now. And the last show I did a pilot for, I went through 45 minutes of sexual harassment training, and you have to get certified in all of the things you can and cannot say, and how you address the other people in the office. Like, it's really locked down. But when we were filming the show, it was, I mean,
anything goes.
Anything goes. Literally. I don't know. Do you remember this? I'm starting every story like that. But I was sitting on the workshop table. And this particular producer came up with a big bottle of super glue. He squirted it at my rear. That was sitting on the table, and then he kicked it. So if people don't know, when you use this super glue, and then the kicker makes it instantly, just very, very quickly harden, but it's a thermic reaction. So yeah. It's super, super duper, duper hot. So all of a sudden, my butt is being glued to the table and it's burning and my skin is sizzling. And I'm like, and I jump up and there's just like a patch of denim and skin left on the table. And I was beyond mad. I was in pain. So like I hobbled over to the bathroom and locked myself in. And I'm like, this MF-er's not going to get my tears. He's not getting my tears. And I'm like trying to pull it together. There's a hole in my jeans. My ass is bleeding. I'm just like this kind of stuff on set. Like I could have sued in modern days. Totally. This is a whole different situation. But I was just like, you don't get this. So I tied a sweatshirt around my waist and I came out like it didn't even bother me. I'm just like, I think I said it was mean, but I didn't do anything about it. Cause I'm like, nope, I'm tougher than you. You're not gonna drive me out. I'm not gonna be a little girl here. I'm not gonna cry. You don't get my tears.
Yeah. I remember you were sitting on the table doing a piece to camera and he snuck up behind you. And as soon as the kicker catalyzed, a big plume of smoke shot up from behind your butt and you were like, it's getting oh my god, it's hot, it's hot. And then you jumped up and that's where we saw the piece of jean stuck on the table and we're like, dang dude, like what are you doing? That is so dangerous.
I gotta say though, at the end of the day, I mean, we could talk about behind the scenes stuff. There was so much fun and so many antics and so, you know, there was some drama, but that wasn't overwhelming. I mean, mostly it was a really good time. We had so much fun together.
And I feel like our shop, like the build team, we had way more fun. Because I remember at M5, if somebody screwed up like a builder or a shop tech, Jamie and Anna would send them over to our shop. And they were like, oh, it's M heaven over here.
Oh, we were the island of Mythbit toys. When somebody was done with them, they'd come over to us and we had so much fun. It really was. We even hung out after work. It was it was great. All right. So let's get to one more question because I want to be able to answer a few. So I believe this is Oriol Gonzalez. I could listen to you guys for hours. Have you ever thought about doing some kind of longer recorded live show in the future?
That's a great idea. Yeah, totally. No, we've talked about we record a lot and a lot of it, you know, some of it doesn't get into the episode, but a live tour, that would be just in front of an audience, do a podcast in front of, that would be fun.
Or what if we just did some special, you know, we could talk for hours and hours and hours and there's only so much that we could put on the podcast. What if we did like a Patreon where it was we just keep talking. We keep answering questions or, you know, it's the extended extra that we could put on a Patreon or something. We could do that.
Totally. You know what else would be fun is if we did a watch along and we started an episode and you and I watch and the listeners at home can start the episode when we start it. And then it'll be like a behind the scenes Blu-ray DVD commentary.
What's a Blu-ray?
Come on. You're not.
Oh, Tori, I think you're just coming up with more reasons to spend more time with me.
But would that be fun? Do a little watch along?
Do we have wine and pizza while we do it?
Yeah. Every time somebody says science, they have to drink.
I got a fun idea, Tori. How about this? If people want to ask us questions, if you send us a video question or an audio question, DM us at Mythfits Podcast. And then we can use it on the show.
Then you get to be in the show.
Yeah, come be in the show with us. That would be awesome. Like, subscribe, follow, and send us all of your questions on a video or an audio message. And come back again for the next Mythbits Monday.
Yeah, nothing creepy, though. We don't want any creepy videos.
Well, maybe I do. That'd be hilarious. Anyway, stay weird, Mythbits.
Stay weird, Mythbits.
Pioneer.